Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When we talk about the music scene in St. Louis, we're talking about interconnections between artists that create their own music and do collaborations with others to make one another's music come to life. That symbiotic relationship births unique sounds that easily trace back to common music genres. Joining me in studio about how he creates jazz, hip-hop, alternative R&B, and pop is McKenny Morrison, also known as K. Cutta Music. Cutta, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, Cutta, since we started doing this monthly music episode, you have come up nearly every month. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. That's actually crazy.
And you've made it very difficult for producer Maya Norfleet not to double dip on musicians in back-to-back months. And she's said to me sometimes she can't help it because, quote, Cut is just that damn good. So as far as what your background is, you studied music at UMKC and you have a degree in jazz. Now, in a little bit, we'll hear some of your works, including collaborations with other artists and your solo music. But I want to start with some, you know, artist liner notes, as it were. Who or what taught you to love music?
I would say just growing up listening to a wide variety of, like, soul music, jazz. My parents had this playlist that they would always go to, and it would just play consistently in the house. So it had Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, BB and CeCe Winans. It had Grover Washington Jr., Miles Davis. So it was just like this constant repeat of these same songs, maybe 50, 60 tunes. And I would just listen to them for years growing up, you know, and CDs. We had CDs, like certain things we play around Christmas time, you know, like the Luther Vandross Holiday is like a Christmas time album that he did. And that's also a huge influence for me and just shaped like what I enjoyed hearing, you know, as a kid.
Are either of your parents musical in some way?
I wouldn't say they are. My dad is probably more like he musically inclined, like he likes to listen to music a lot. Like actually when I was younger, he would like sing or hum the bass lines to songs. So that was like one of the earliest ways I was able to, you know, decipher like, okay, this is the bass line.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Okay. So let's hear some of your original music. You have several projects on your Spotify page and they go back to 2018. And I want to start with a track from your album Earth that was released in 2022. This is Backseat Window. That was Backseat Window from K. Cutta Music's 2022 album titled Earth. The inspiration for this song, what was it? And does that reflect how you get inspiration for the music that you make?
I would say, okay, so for inspiring, right? I would say this song came together very much similar to the story of my first like recording over itself, because I had this these chord progressions, and in my mind, I think at the time I was listening to a lot of like To Pimp a Butterfly related stuff. Like I had like people like Terrace Martin heavy in mind, Robert Glasper heavy in mind. And so I was playing these chords and I was messing around with that. And then I layered, I found a drum groove and I added that in. And I actually played the bass on this, which was funny. Because I only dabble, but you know, it was very early on of me trying to pick up learning how to play simple bass stuff. And yeah, so it just kind of came together just over like loops and loops of me playing and hearing certain things. Started with the drums, I'm pretty sure, and then the chords and then the bass.
So there's a theme of being a student and learning new things with
Absolutely.
What you do.
Yeah.
The next question that I have is one that musicians either don't mind or it sends them sometimes into something of a spiral. How is it that you would categorize your music as far as genre goes?
It's always interesting. I feel that there's so many different genres that's embedded into what is, you know, what I eventually cook up, that it's hard to put it into one. But I like to always say indie soul. I kind of did some research online and I felt as though like certain artists that I listen to now, such as like Mind Design, are really into what I would consider to be that. And I feel like the indie part of the name indicates that there's some sort of like DIY nature to it. And I kind of like that because I come from also creating lo-fi beats and things like that early on when I was making music. So it definitely is something that I would consider to be like indie soul because it includes the jazz and includes the R&B and the hip hop.
The next song that we're going to hear is The Modal Jazzer. And this song is one that you created with an artist named Orlando Vaughn in 2023. That was Modal Jazzer by K Cutta Music and Orlando Vaughn. Cutta, what are we hearing there?
What you're hearing currently is just me playing the rose. And the rose is a big part of a lot of my tunes. It's my favorite sound of piano, right? And you're essentially hearing that and then drums that was contributed by Orlando Vaughn, also known as OV. And then I added some synthesizer, I added some key bass in the low end. It's really actually a pretty simple tune, maybe even a little bit of padding with like organ and stuff like that. So,
and I'm asking this question because there's a lot going on there, but it doesn't sound like overload, if that makes any sense.
Right, yeah.
And as I'm listening to it, I hear jazz, I hear hip hop. There's a boom bap beat, I think, behind your keys. Credit to Maya Norfleet for pointing that out. And when genres, you know, when they bend, they kind of break. I think I've seen that that J Dilla is one of your influences.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as an artist, you know, how is it that you decide what elements of different genres should come together? I mean, is there
something that you're thinking about, or is it more instinctual?
I definitely feel like it's more instinctual. I almost feel like when I'm creating, I'm channeling. And that's a really big like theme for me is, as an artist, I think it's important to take care of your spirit, take care of your personal self in the best way that you can, and keeping yourself open to discovering new sounds so that you can then instinctually choose what sounds go together. Because these themes normally wouldn't be seen together, but I see instinctually that they share elements that would complement each other. So in this is a lot of, I think it works because there's a lot of counter melodies to them. And so like certain accents in certain places just make more sense. And we actually shot a music video to this song as well, and we incorporated crumping because even though it's a boom bap song, the dance style of crumping actually went really well with the groove. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely instinctual, but it also comes from just being keeping your mind open to multiple sources of inspiration and creativity.
Mm-hmm. So Modal Jazzer already answers that question that has to do with subgenre, at least. It's modal jazz. How would you describe the characteristics of that?
In the modal jazz sense, it's the chords and it's how I'm playing them. It comes from McCoy Tyner-esque chords, chordal voicings. That's where the name modal jazzer comes from, because that's the chords that I actually played, was that particular style of jazz. So that's kind of one style. And then the other style, of course, is the J Dilla kind of boom bap. It's more of like a, it's a little bit behind the beat almost, if you will. So it's very swung. So that swung and groove of boom bap, not necessarily the up-tempo on beat kind of style. Mm-hmm. And then the organ kind of makes me feel almost a little bit like churchy slash soulful, but that's where I kind of came from that. It was very small and minute in how it was contributed, but I added a lot in terms of the feel.
Mm-hmm. The next song we'd like to play is a track from 2024. This is Easy Does It. That was K Kata Music's Easy Does It. So there's some funk elements there, jazzy keys.
Oh, yeah.
How is it that you take distinct sounds and characteristics and then really make them uniquely yours?
Well, for me, it just comes from what comes in my head, comes into my head as far as like certain aspects. I will say I take inspiration from an older source. So it's almost interesting because when I listen to a lot of contemporary music, like music that's come out recently, sometimes I'll notice that comes out in my music and I don't necessarily want it to, just because I feel like taking from an older source helps me to keep it original. Because I'm born in 1998, me listening from a source that's 1970s or earlier really helps me to easier contextualize that sound without necessarily duplicating it, because I still have my own experiences from today.
And I have to say, as I listen to your music, and much of the time I'm listening in my car, I did the same, you know, preparing for this conversation. I don't want to be doing anything else. Like, I think there is some music you play while you are in the midst of some other activity, but some of these elements just made me want to stop and listen to what you've put together. Maybe it is some of that. It's recognition of things from the past, but then feeling that the freshness that you're bringing to it.
Yeah.
Is that something that you hear from people?
I guess I think the biggest thing I hear, honestly, is just that people feel the music and they feel it really intensely. Like, that's part of what my mission is, you know, is I want people to feel inspired by what they hear. And if it sounds a little bit familiar, but you can't exactly put your finger on it, I feel like it's the elements that people are hearing. So if it makes you stop and say, wow, this is really nice, I think that's great to hear. You know, that's a very high compliment for me, especially because I come from like the lo-fi beat era where, you know, a lot of people listen to lo-fi like study beats and they're listening in the background. And I always thought like, well, if I was to make a track that would make people stop and say, hey, what's that? You know, that would be like one of the highest compliments for sure. So Thank you.
You're very welcome. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue our conversation with McKinney Morrison, also known as K Cutter Music. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Parrot Corporation. With a commitment to serving the St. Louis community through local partnerships and charitable support, guided by Parrot's core values. More at parrot.com/culture.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with McKinney Morrison, also known as K Cutter Music. He's a jazz pianist and music producer born and raised in St. Louis. Cutter, in addition to making your own music, you co-own a production studio called A Topsoil Company, and that's in the Benton Park West neighborhood just off Cherokee Street in South St. Louis. And there, you and your business partner, Tyler Baxley, welcome a variety of musicians. Now, along with jazz music, you produce hip-hop beats. Here's an example of your work with rappers Zado and Cairo Kano. This is Alrighty.
I'm hoping she give me the cutty, cause I got the beef from Cutter, your alien superstar, and that's lovely. Well, I turn the mold in Scully, looking for you, let him cook my culinary game, always keep a pudgy. It is what it is, alrighty then. I write to you with almighty pen. Turn the stove on, how the food taste. I'm top chef now, how could you hate? This ain't making no noise.
Now, you also do alternative R&B, Cutter, which can be heard in Rachel Brousier's You Should Be Ashamed.
While I'm here, you can't steal my joy. I cannot be conquered, I cannot be destroyed. I am of this world, but I am made of so much more. I'm golden to the
Cutter, how does producing for hip-hop compare to producing for R&B?
I would say, one, the artists are very different, I feel like. There's many various different styles that I encounter of how artists record hip-hop versus R&B, which isn't a bad thing, isn't good or bad. It's just, you know, what it is. But I would say I love working with R&B vocalists, alternative R&B vocalists, just simply because I feel like there's more room to stretch musically. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you have to be cognizant when a lyricist is in the room, a rapper, like you don't want to do too much in the beat and you don't want to overpower what's going on because they're rapping faster. There's a lot more of like language that's being said. And mm-hmm. I almost feel like you have to sculpt around that. But also when you sculpt and around a singer, you know, there's more things you can do in the beat in between when they're singing. And so, like, that's always cool. But I enjoy both, you know. It's just a difference in, you know, how I approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, when listeners go looking for you on Spotify or on another streaming platform, they may notice that sometimes K Cuta music is listed in the artist column, but other times McKinney Morrison is listed in that composer section. Is there something to that? I mean, is there a distinction between songs that credit one over, you know, crediting the other?
I guess not really, but I will say I am not afraid to use my real name in compositions, especially in recent years as I've begun to actually work on score works for. So I recently did a project with my buddy Kenneth Leffridge, who's based out of Chicago, and we did something together for the American Cancer Society. It was a documentary that was created by Ashley O'Shea called In Due Time. Mm-hmm. And we did that, I believe, last year and went to D.C. for the screening. And so, like, certain things like that, I definitely don't mind being credited my my official name, because I feel like Cuta is something that expands to a certain style and genre of music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like McKinney Morrison is almost like this brand that is solely me and my creations. Mm-hmm.
Your music production range is vast. Here's a little bit of a song you produced called I'm a Llama by Amor. So that's very cute. Now, on a completely different tip, here's a little of your work with vocalist Lena Clav on a track called Juno. So these are very different sounds and productions, but each of them is very clean. How is it that you go about finding artists to collaborate with?
It's a very spontaneous process sometimes. It's just that, you know, I look for who I connect with, right? I think before the music even starts to be a conversation, it's like I have to know if, you know, if we align in other ways, whether it's personal or spiritual, you know, I feel like that kind of is the leading the way into how I will collaborate with you as an artist. Because I feel like as a creative, like to create art is one of the most intimate things you can do in this world, in this lifetime. So, you know, not to get deep, but, you know, it matters who you work with in that sense. And, you know, the I'm a Llama was so cool because, you know, Amor was four at the time. This is my buddy Tyler Small's daughter. And, you know, she's just so talented, like to have so much of that. Like she came up with the lyrics. She even helped me on the beat. Like she added some elements to the beat. So, you know, it's just really cool to see and inspire someone as young as that in that way.
Yeah. You'll be playing Music at the Intersection in September. Can you give us a little bit of a, you know, a teaser of what you'll be doing then?
Yeah, I can give a little bit. I want to keep a little bit of it because I want it to definitely be a surprise. Mm-hmm. But it will for sure be going back to more of a traditional style of jazz and certain things. You know, I've done a lot of wide variety of stuff, but I want to take it back to jazz because I feel like the Music at the Intersection, when I was introduced to it, like I got hip to so many of these jazz artists, and mm-hmm. there's so many that's still on the bill today. But I almost want to, you know, put myself out there almost as a way to prove myself in my jazz prowess because I've done so much of a wide variety of music. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm excited to do that, and I'm excited to bring, you know, some of the Cuta classics, you know, some of the things that people who've seen me live will definitely expect to hear. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll look forward to it. McKinney Morrison is K Cuta Music. Cuta, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and edited by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.